All right, kids. Hammer has informed me right off the top of the show. We do have our first snow day, kinda, okay? Well, for some members of the listening audience, I know that's what you want to hear out of the gate if you're up and you're wondering, okay? Renfrew County buses are canceled. We don't know yet. We should know soon what's happening here in Ottawa. Got to get that off my chest right away. I know what it's like to be a kid and you're wondering what's going on. And you wonder what's going on again. Of course, JR is off again. Why not, right? Grueling two-day work week last week. JR is off. Yours truly, Steve Lloyd, sitting in all week long. Happy to do it. Should have a lot of fun, always do, with my good friend, John Simpson, and my kind of friend, Matt Hamer.
Acquaintance.
Producing the X-Craft. Acquaintance, yes. Old acquaintance. Good morning, everyone. We're with you till 10 o'clock this morning. It is TSN Mornings at TSN 1200. Good morning, John Simpson.
Morning. And you're saying about the snow days, and I'm thinking to myself, Lordy, the entire 2020 has been a snow day, right? Is anybody really looking at it this way? Kind of, oh, man, I need that day off. Hey, you want to see those kids go out the door if that's the case? And I guess it's the case as far as how many people are actually home. Not that much of a factor when it comes to the snow. We'll say shout out to the old workers as usual. Took the old Riverside South all the way down to the highway, and in real good shape, and especially the highway itself. Hopefully some smooth sailing for anybody coming in this morning.
Okay, now here's the thing, and I was sharing this with Hammer just before we came on. If the buses don't run here, both my kids take the bus.
Yeah,
I didn't tell them what's going to happen because
fire them into an Uber.
Well, in a normal circumstance, Simmer, I'm doing the midday show, right? I'm doing usually.
Yeah.
No, and so I have time. Hey, no bus, sorry, kids.
Yeah.
Guess who's still going to school?
Yeah,
this morning can't happen. Wife's out the door in about a half hour to go to work. Okay.
Yeah. What grades, Lloyd, in? Do they like school?
One does, one doesn't.
Okay.
That's usually the case. You never get them all the same. Right, Hammer?
Yeah, no.
50-50 is good.
I hated school, but it's funny. Mira's boys, Maddie and Zach, both love school, are incredible being home studying, and they were so upset that they weren't able to go to school this year. And I was like, what is wrong with your kids? Like, it's incredible. Like, they're home, and they're working through assignments now. They're already into stuff that they should be doing next summer.
How are you raising these children?
Well, luckily, I've had no part. Actually, that lesson coming in, I had a flashback about the cigarettes. First of all, I never did the cigarettes because I couldn't smoke, but I remember I came home one time at 16, 17. I smelled like beer, and my dad's like, oh, my God, you've been drinking. Who are you drinking with? And I said, well, you're not going to rat any of your buds out. I said, no, I was out drinking by myself. Oh, you got a problem. You're out drinking by yourself.
So if you're drinking with somebody, then you don't have a problem?
Well, yeah, exactly. But I got to be in trouble then. I've got to identify who I was with, right? Just having a couple of cold ones, Dad. Why don't we just all relax, right?
He just made it worse. All of a sudden, he makes a phone call. Some counselor shows up at the door. You have to talk to my son.
No,
he drinks
exactly.
by himself.
I said, the song's on the radio. Hey, I drink alone. I think it was just released right around that time.
Oh, George, it's all good. Oh, man. All right, so we'll find out shortly about the buses here in the city. Well, of course, we'll pass that
information. Now, would you drive them over at 10 o'clock, or you just let them stay home for the day?
I don't know, Simmer.
What about the old happy day?
See, I'm not going to let you off the hook as a parent. I know the kids don't want to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, your ability. And you said the school's close by. They could be there by 10:05.
Well, they're two separate schools. It'd be a double drop.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, it'd be very taxing, Simmer. Okay.
That's true.
You know, to be less than a kilometer apart.
Yeah. Well, you tell them at 9:30, get out and clean out the car. Maybe start it up for you. Hey.
Well, hey, listen, I was, how about this veteran move? Okay. So I put my wife's snow tires on last week and I hadn't done mine yet. So I said, you know what? Looks like there could be some weather coming in. Got that done yesterday morning. Did the old garage clean out because there's crap everywhere.
Oh,
like
God,
usually we'll my vehicle will stay in the driveway for most of the year because it's easier to get the bikes in and out and all the kids' stuff.
Yeah.
Cleaned it up, pulled it in, Simmer, and we're
nice.
Good to go. Hey, look at that. Just in time.
That is a good feeling though. When you walk in, you see that beautiful I'm sure it's a Mercedes or Bentley, whatever you got.
Land Rover. Manor.
You know what? There's no snow on it. I had to get out. I was so Canadian this morning. Used the old hockey stick, cleaned the car right off, and Yep. Well, simmer. Rock and roll.
I lied a bit. I had Jeeves actually change the tires yesterday. I didn't do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jeeves did that for me. Oh. As you know, ran a few errands, and then I made him do that, and then I gave him an hour off on a Sunday.
You live in South Rockcliffe as well, I see.
Yes, I do. Yes, yeah, that's how I roll here. Okay, let's get right to it here, shall we? Now, I say thank goodness for the NFL. We always have tons to get to here on a Monday, and of course, we got Monday Night Football on TSN 1200. Tonight, and I'll tell you what, Zimmer, I stayed up to the end here, and I'm glad that I did. Like, you see the great matchups on paper, and how often does it really not live up? Man, the Raiders-Chiefs, that was a great game. Did that live up to the hype or what? There were four lead changes in the fourth quarter, and how about Patrick Mahomes? He goes 75 yards in 75 seconds for the game-winning touchdown to Travis Kelce with 28 seconds left, and the Chiefs beat the Raiders. That was an awesome game last night.
Yeah, it is, and interesting for them. I mean, you go back last year, did all three of their playoff games, they came from behind to win the Super Bowl, including their first game.
Oh,
in the first game, remember looking at the scoreboard, and were they down 21-love? You're thinking, what the hell's going on? Another big upset. Certainly a pattern. It feels like this year, and I don't have the numbers, but their margin of victory in times and pulling these things out, but it is magic and have that ability. I guess for any of us, Lloydie, I guess I always think of John Elway, right? Just that ability for a team to march the field. Tom Brady certainly had a few of his own moments, but very special. And for the Raiders, hey, now sitting at 6-4 for kind of their program, for everything that they've gone through with COVID, for the play of Derek Carr, you know, so some you know, making some progress. It almost reminds me of the Titans from last year, where you can see that, hey, they're slowly starting to get a little bit better. People laughed when they ended up trading out Khalil Mack, made the trade with the Cowboys, and looks like Jon Gruden has not forgotten about football, and they got a pretty good team.
Let's get to a little bit of the sound from that game here. Just to set it up, if you didn't stay up and watch it here, let's start with Hammer. Witten with the touchdown to give the Raiders the lead late in the game. The 38-year-old, 17-season veteran gets the touchdown to put the Raiders out on top.
Carter center takes the snap, fakes to Jacobs, back to throw, plants his feet, looking left, nothing there, scans the field. Carr moving to his right, Carr throws corner of the end zone. That one is caught by Jason Witten. Was he in the end zone?
That's a touchdown.
They're going to call it a touchdown for the Raiders. Jason Witten, the veteran tight end, made the catch in the far corner of the end zone inside the pylon, and the Raiders have taken the lead.
So they made the convert there as well, and that gave them the three-point lead. But there's, 128 left here on the clock, so lots of time for Mahomes to come down the field and at least get in the field goal range.
Yeah,
and
you
could tell early on in that drive, and we'll get to it here, how it finished. 75 yards in 75 seconds. Early in the drive, you knew minimum they were going to get the field goal, and they're probably going to win the game, and they did.
Yeah, and you look at that kind of laid-back defense, that ability to open up the field, and I guess that's the part, hey, when you see Kansas City and as many weapons as they have into it, Lloydie, that's what you're afraid of. Do not get burned by a touchdown here to end up losing the game. Try to bring it along here. Worst-case scenario, hey, let's get a field goal, let's get a tie into overtime, and maybe we end up getting the ball back, but not the case for Kansas City. And again, that is the difficulty on trying to defend them. And you also wonder from the Raiders' side, on the defensive side of the ball, did they finally get a little bit taxed with, again, being hit so bad by the COVID over the last couple of weeks? And even for the guys that returned, I think their entire week of practice was just done via video, right? So, I mean, that ends up, I think, catching up with you at some point.
All right, here's how it sounded. Here's the game-winning touchdown.
Shotgun snap to Mahomes. He's back to pass. He has time. He steps up. Mahomes throws for the end zone. Got a man wide open. It's Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City. Travis Kelce was wide open in the end zone, and Mahomes finds him with 28 seconds left. Chiefs on top, 34-31.
Does anybody throw better on the run, Zimmer, when they're moving laterally than Patrick Mahomes on target?
Well, you know, it's so funny because earlier in the day I watched Cleveland and I watched Baker Mayfield, and I really appreciate, first of all, how hard he works and how hard he tries, Lloydie. But to your point, nothing is natural, right? It is so deliberate when he comes out of the pocket. But when you end up watching a guy like Mahomes, it really is. I mean, it is incredibly special. I guess combination of, well, just being a great athlete. But what also is just an appreciation is you go across the board, and I'm sure as a Bills fan, you now look at Josh Allen, you're pretty proud as a young quarterback. I just watch guys like this, and Aaron Rodgers to Tom Brady, just your ability to do these things, these special things. things under the most pressure and to just make it look so effortless. I mean, it really feels like with him, he almost needs a challenge right now. I mean, playing in the NFL has come, you know, so naturally and so easily for him that it's almost like now I need a bit of a challenge here. And when he's challenged, he rises right up and has a whole lot of fun doing it.
And speaking of Tua, we'll skip to that here since you brought it up. So the Dolphins had won five straight games, three straight under Tua, but he ended up getting pulled. And it was, you know, there was some speculation. He was on the injured list a little bit for a foot injury. What happened? And in his last play, maybe his ankle gets twisted up a little bit. But it was revealed after the game he was pulled in the fourth quarter for performance reasons. And they put in Fitzpatrick, and it still wasn't enough as the Dolphins saw their five-game winning streak come to an end. So after the game, Simmer, Hammer, here is Tua on getting pulled.
My thoughts were whatever was going to be best for the team. You know, we couldn't, well, when I was in, we couldn't really get things going. And, you know, coach felt like it was the best decision to put Fitz in to try to give us a spark. So when I heard that, I mean, you know, it's really what's best for the team. And I mean, if we were to win with Fitz in there, you know, the locker room would be a lot different. Everyone would be a lot happier. But, you know, it just sucks to lose.
And Flores did say that Tua is still the starting quarterback with the Dolphins. They're trying to mix it up, and Fitzpatrick got in there. Didn't happen as Denver stopped their winning streak at five games.
Yeah, and they have to kind of look at that as one that got away as far as Buffalo, right, and the ability to chase him down. But the ebbs and flows, and I love that. And talk about maturity when you listen to him talk, right? And I think for anybody that plays, whether you're a pitcher, goaltender, quarterback, Lloydie, some of the days you don't have it, somebody else pops in. And this is part of the long haul. And again, I just think the quarterback part is fascinating. When I watch Joe Burrow, nothing to do with injury, but just what a long haul this is. And you're watching Carson Wentz yesterday, and you're really starting to wonder, like, are they, it won't be this year. I know they've had a ton of injuries. You know, are you seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with him, right? And in a very difficult Philadelphia market, this incredible roller coaster with all of these young quarterbacks and how long the process is. And I even think back to, hey, when Kansas City brought in Mahomes, they had a plan, right? They brought Alex Smith. Alex Smith played his entire rookie year. Then he takes over. And in the case of Tua, I think the Dolphins have handled this very well. And it's not like, hey, you're the starting quarterback, and if things are bad, that we're not going to end up taking you out. I love to see that. That's all part of the process.
Well, and a couple other quick hitters here. You brought up the Eagles, and come on, it's Jalen Hurts' time, is it not? Like, what do you got to lose at this point if you're the Eagles?
Yeah,
how about that division?
Yeah.
All four teams have three wins.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And I would have said to you even a month ago, by far the worst team in that division is the Giants, as bad as the Cowboys were. Now, the Cowboys get Dalton back, and you have to feel pretty good after a victory like that. But you're right, it has been a disaster. And like I said, for Philadelphia and New York, and I guess, well, Dallas as well, but when you also go into these markets, Lloyd, and you understand what the media does, grabs a hold of you, like even for the Eagles fan base, if they went 6-10 or whatever it is, or 6-9-1 and won the division, the media would still be all over you. Like the negativity that's around each of these franchises right now is incredible.
All right, Jets lose again, still winless, and officially eliminated from the playoffs before Thanksgiving. Way to go, Jets. That's good. Pittsburgh now 10-0, and Chase Claypool, the Canadian 10th touchdown.
Do you know how big he is, Lloydie?
Oh, what's Claypool go? 6'4"?
Yeah.
240?
Yeah.
Is he that big?
Yeah, he is, but I had no idea. I realized he was a good-sized guy.
Oh,
but
he's huge. Well, thick guy.
Yeah, well, I thought he was fairly lean, and they were talking about that yesterday. I just didn't know. I didn't realize, and when they were kind of comparing him to, calling him, what, Mapletron? I kind of was like, is he that big of a guy? They were just showing some of the highlights yesterday and the inability to defend him. And at the same time, when you watch those games, the chemistry between he and Ben Roethlisberger right now, his ability to get open, but there are so many, if you want to call it, packages or plays that are absolutely set up for him, and still people can't defend him. What a treat to watch athletically.
Well, and as I did a few shows with you last week as well, Simmer, you brought this up. You said, is it just me, or is there more high-profile serious injuries this year? Well, we got another one. Joe Burrow's done. First overall pick, and he's got a torn ACL. He's done for the year, and he's having a really nice year on a bad team, but a really nice year as a starting quarterback as a rookie in Cincinnati.
You know, and every quarterback's under pressure, Lloydie, so I'd never say it, but I just look at these teams, and generally, hey, if you're Trevor Lawrence and you're thinking, my God, what am I going to do next year? I'm going to be on the Jets. I don't care about necessarily being on a bad team, but can you protect me? Like, can I get through a year? And I guess even you go back to the great Troy Aikman and how bad the Dallas Cowboys were, what, 1-15 his rookie year? Ended up getting banged around, ended up with some concussions. And, man, if you don't have the support for these guys, and if you're a player or an agent and you're being drafted, sure, you're excited and you love that you're getting the cash. But, again, you look around and realize, boy, I might not have a chance here to stay healthy just because I've got no protection.
All right. Well, just touching on the NFL, of course, we'll have more on that. We'll check in at the World Junior Selection Camp. Cuts are coming fairly shortly. The first cuts from camp in Alberta, we'll hit on that. And NBA free agency, it was eventful for the Raptors yesterday. We'll hit on that as well here on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back to it. 6:31. All right, I got the email yesterday. I'm sure Hammer did as well, right? They said they'd let us know by 6:15 this morning at the latest. It's past 6:15, so kids, if you're in Ottawa, looks like the buses are running. Just giving you your
is that usually the sign if no emails means that obviously it's a go?
Yes.
Okay.
That's usually the way it works.
Yeah, no, you're right. That makes sense.
I just have any kids that take the bus, so I actually don't get these emails. Now, they always ask if buses are canceled and if they can stay home, and my answer is always the same. No, get your butt to school.
Yes, because you grew up in Belleville, and you don't stand for that.
No.
Okay. No, you got to get your learning.
That's learn, Pepsi. Learned. Okay, all right. Let's get to the Raptors, and they had a busy day. We'll get back into the NFL. There's so much to touch on here, but as the free agency season continues in the NBA, now I guess it officially opened up at noon yesterday. So the courting period started at 6 o'clock on Friday evening, and then you could officially sign as of noon yesterday. So they lost a couple in Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol, who both go to L.A., Ibaka to the Clippers, and Gasol is going to the Lakers. And they've landed Aaron Baines, an Aussie, from the Boston Celtics. So, you know, you lose two bigs, you add one here, Simmer. And I guess we should go back. They did get Fred VanVleet done a couple days ago here as well. So we are wondering if that was going to happen. He gets a four-year deal and is paid handsomely for it. And what they've done by, you know, not bringing back at least one of Ibaka or Gasol, or both for that matter, and they go out and get Baines on a more friendly contract, they still keep their options open, as it's been quite clear that the Raptors are really looking at having a lot of space available for next offseason.
Yeah.
And the big fish maybe would be Giannis, but, there would be multiple players available that maybe they could take a run at.
Yeah, it's interesting for the Raptors. You're still at the point, for the most part, Lloydy, that in courting a top free agent in the truest sense, say it's very difficult. You get into the different things, you know, does the Greek freak sign his long-term extension, but this still went out in a year. You make a trade, and I guess it's funny. I've become a fan. I'm on the bandwagon because they have been a good team. I was kind of like, a little disappointed old Serge is leaving. Really like the personality, like the play. I thought Gasol certainly had hit the buffet during the COVID, where he did not look it. And this is a real nice acquisition 2 years ago. His ball skills, his experience, I thought letting him go, and I was actually surprised he got a two-year deal. Everybody said he was going home. What I didn't also realize is he was actually originally drafted by the Lakers. And you think about his brother and the great combination and winning a championship with old Kobe back in the day. So it hurts, but you kind of look and say, hey, what is the most important thing is getting Fred signed. And if you look at Fred, you wonder where Lowry will be in another year when his contract expires. Between Fred and Siakam and OG and some other pieces that are there right now, you can understand there's a real method to the madness for the Raptors. And in a cap system, sometimes you got to let people go.
And I just wonder what else they might be up to here, because the season starts on December the 22nd. Are they done? Like, or are you still looking to add something?
Yeah.
Maybe especially if you could get another big.
Well, it sounds like, re-signing Boucher and then now with Baines, it doesn't sound like it, but I'd also have them sat down and broken down their cap. It's more than on Baines. It's a two-year deal. The second year is a club option, so chances are he's not going to be back. And, what you then point to from a Raptor standpoint, okay, easy to talk about a year year from now, with the final year of a contract, Masai Ujiri, does he end up getting re-signed? Because it would certainly lead, and you would feel like anything to do with the Greek Freak is going to involve his relationship with Masai and selling him on coming to Toronto versus going to a place like Miami.
If you're a Raptors fan, are you approaching this season as possibly it just might be a tread water, maybe even take a step back with an aim towards the following year?
Yeah,
because at this point, Simber, it doesn't feel like they're any better. They might be a little worse.
No, and then you also kind of look around and you say to yourself, listen, you couldn't beat Boston. You know, has Boston lost some pieces? Possibly, but their core is still intact. Miami's only going to get better. Was surprised by them, where they're at. With Philadelphia, with Doc Rivers, can they change around the culture and some of the pieces they have in place? And then, of course, you have all the moves made by Milwaukee. Like, what would be your realistic power ranking as a team? Oh, I would totally agree with you, Lloydy. These two players, because, as I said, the 1-2 combo as guys that couldn't play necessarily huge minutes, but certainly for Serge Ibaka, I just thought there was a real nice energy. And as far as Gasol and the trade that was made when he came over, again, not the fleetest of foot, but what an incredible basketball intelligence. So you have to look at what's replacing them and for what goes out the door for a team that was, you know, hey, they probably wouldn't have won a championship had it not been for some of the injuries of Golden State, not to take away from them, Lloydy, but I don't think you're realistic. Look at this core right now and say, hey, they've got any real chance to even come out of the East on paper.
That's for sure. And if people missed it, Serge Ibaka had a really nice Twitter thread talking about his time playing for the Raptors and living in Toronto and Canada and all that.
Yeah.
So if people want to check that out, you can find it, as Serge Ibaka had some really nice things to say about his experience.
Yeah, and I'm sure, hey, what don't get further than Kawhi Leonard. And you play with these people, you go to war with them. You know what they're all about as teammates. I mean, you talk about two great pros in Ibaka and Gasol. Now, what are teams? I don't know what the Lakers necessarily need. Don't know their depth chart, but as far as the Clippers, you're trying to figure out a way to win a championship. So I'm sure for him, hey, get a nice deal here. And also for him, like a lot of the Raptors players, Lloydy, I wouldn't put him quite to Siakam or even necessarily Nick Nurse or Lowry, but boy, he was able to become very popular with his personality and his cooking skills, and, you know, able to become, you know, very popular and very well liked in the Toronto, well, in all of Canada for that matter.
And the big scarf as well.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, real personality, you know.
Okay, so you mentioned the Celtics here as well. So Jason Tatum and Donovan Mitchell, for that matter, with Utah, both players. And this, Simmer, gets to, like, the NBA is in a different stratosphere in paying players, especially young players, than, say, the NHL.
Yeah,
okay?
For sure.
I mean, wow. Jason Tatum and Mitchell get identical contracts. Now, a lot of this stuff is built in like this, right? There is a threshold, and if you're a great player, you're going to get the threshold. And so Tatum and Mitchell both get five-year extensions worth $195 million, Simmer.
Yeah.
Tatum is 22 years old, and you watch him in the bubble, especially against the Raptors. If you weren't familiar just how great he is already and how good he still can be, you're really, really, if you're a Raptors fan watching that, you got an up-close-and-personal look at that talent, and that is just – It's mind-boggling money, you know, 5 years, $195 million for both he and Mitchell.
Yeah, no, hey, the money's there. And it is funny, Lloydy, because I think it was Doc Rivers' son signed for 3 years with the Knicks. I think it was $10 million, and part of me's feeling sorry for him. He's only going to make $3.3 million, right? The numbers end up being so crazy. And Tatum is another guy, I'll say, similar to Klay Thompson. I mean, I've watched him, but until the Raptors play somebody in a long playoff series, I don't sit down and watch and have an appreciation. Like, what a treat to watch this guy play. Like he is an elite stud athletically, ball skills, shooting, hey, just everything. So well-deserved. And like I said, that is, I guess, if you're – because I think going into that series, we kind of looked at Tatum and Siakam on the same playing field. And Siakam had such a struggle in the playoffs. I would say for him this year, if you're looking big picture for the Raptors – would be kind of a reset, continued growth. And then all of a sudden, if you're able to bring in somebody else, how would that combination be along with Fred? And, you know, would that end up starting to form what you think may be another championship team?
All right, so any thoughts on that? Feel free, send them in at 12-1200. What do you think about NBA free agency so far? What do you think what the Raptors did? So they get Freddie done. They lose a couple of popular bigs in Ibaka and Gasol. They bring one in, Aaron Baines from the Celtics. And are they done? Should they be done? Let us know at 12-1200. Question came in here off the top because I gave myself a pat on the back because I do that. You know, got some snow tires on just in time yesterday and got it all pulled in the garage. So I'm all good with this snow falling here. Now, Lloydy, did you back into the garage so you can go right off the bat whenever
yeah,
you
that's
need
true,
to? Because
yeah.
that would be the ultimate.
Yeah,
Fern,
yeah.
come on. Of course I did.
Nice.
Of course I did. I backed in.
Oh, okay.
It's a straight shot out, okay?
Yeah.
I got skills.
That
now,
is,
it,
yeah.
In previous vehicles, though, maybe I've rubbed it a little bit
oh, yeah.
on the side, a little
yeah.
bit. But, hey, listen, that's yeah. the price you pay if yeah. if you want to do that. I can't make Jeeves back it in all the time. Sometimes I got to do it myself.
Yeah.
And get it in there.
What,
so,
what is this reference to? Who is this person that you're referencing? I'm.
That's my butler.
Jeeves, yeah, it's the
oh,
butler.
Okay, okay.
Are you kidding me, Zimmer?
No, I'm
that's
not.
That's a classic butler name.
Okay.
Should
no.
I have said Benson?
No, I have no idea. I've never heard the name, so I let it ride because obviously you guys were on the same page here. I had no idea.
What,
so you're going back
Hammer,
to it.
And then you needed
that a reach?
To know.
Was that a reach?
I'm not
Did
saying
you know
it's a reach.
I'm
not saying it's a reach. I've never heard the term, so I'm just you know.
Don't you remember the old search engine Ask Jeeves too? Because that was a butler
yes.
as well.
No,
exactly.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
okay.
Nothing.
Okay.
Thank you, Hammer. I
yeah.
appreciate you having
yeah.
my back.
Okay.
I thought that was a fairly obvious. If I'm talking about making a joke about
well,
being
but
you know
also,
here at Lloyd Manor,
team player
I,
over
I,
here.
I never,
okay.
I never technically saw the butler leave the house. It's actually the chauffeur. That technically would do the driving. So I'm just curious, you know, my kind of thought is that the details for the butler are inside waiting at the door. Like, I don't remember Mr. Daisy hey. Driving Miss Daisy. That he's the chauffeur. He's not the
okay.
butler, is he?
Now, listen, I'm Ottawa well-to-do for just having the butler for the catch-all. It's not like I live in the gated community in the U.S. somewhere where I've got staff members
oh,
here.
Okay,
so it's only one person that does it all. There's varying degrees of affluence here,
okay.
Simmer.
Okay.
So Jeeves has to do everything
all
for
right.
me here.
All right.
Okay? All right, thank you, Fern. Yeah, of course I backed in. Come on, give me a break. All right, we'll take a break. We're back in a moment. I want to get into the World Junior Selection Camp next. Cuts are coming, Simmer. And I want to get your thoughts again on this. This is a long, long camp. And we know why it's long, right?
Yeah.
You know, the circumstances this year. But how tough is that? We'll touch on that next here on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.
You're off.
Oh, yeah. All right, so yes, the World Junior Selection Camp continues in Alberta, and they had a red and white scrimmage. Yeah, you could have watched it on online last night. Craig Button was offering some commentary on that. Jack Quinn had a nice one-time goal in that game. So we're getting finally, it seems, to the point of the camp where cuts will be coming, Simmer. So why don't we hear from the head coach, Andre Tourney, on just that. When will the cuts be coming?
At some point, we need to make cuts, and we will have to take really hard decision already. But we want to drop it to one group for practices, and as well, like I said from the beginning, we want our player to play games. So we need those guys to be on the ice. So we need to take tough decision as soon as possible, cut the roster, and having our guys play as many games as possible.
Now, I asked you before the break here, and we get why it's this long, but how difficult is it to have this many players,
yeah.
you know, to be a part of a camp to get to a true evaluation?
Well, I again, an evaluation, I would say on a general team, you're going to go 12, 13 that you've already decided who's on it, Lloyd. It's a question of how do you fill out the rest? Unknown for a lot of guys coming into camp. What kind of shape is everybody in? Where does everybody react? Trying to get a bit of a feel of it. I think the larger group allows you to actually have some good scrimmages to get a bit of a feel, but it is certainly a unique circumstance. So I don't have a problem with the numbers because, as I say, the evaluations for the scouts, if I was up there watching or the general manager of the team, I like the large numbers. And then you can sniff these guys out pretty quickly. And I know they're a very deep team. My question is, if you start to cut down too quickly, Lloyd, you're 4 weeks, you know, 4 weeks from Saturday before you play your first game. You all of a sudden don't have enough numbers, or you're just doing practices every day. And I have not looked at their schedule. Do they have exhibition games going into the tournament?
They do. I got to pull that up again.
Okay.
I think they're doing. I think they're playing some U Sports teams again.
Oh, they are able to do that. Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Certain. I got to double check.
Okay, because I wondered from the U Sports teams, How are you able to play them if they're not in quarantine? And you're introduced to that. And I also, some of the other teams, the American teams, I'm going to guess, and again, I was trying to pull it up while we were on the break, teams are coming in 2 weeks early, are they not, for quarantine? But
yes.
At what point can you start playing? So I understand if you can kind of get to that spot. The question is, and hey, I don't think there's any other way around it. It just seems like a long camp, and I'm just curious, as you get to finally playing on Boxing Day, you know, you just want your group to be fresh, and it's a tough thing to try to end up doing under these circumstances.
All right, so we'll see when those first cuts come, but they had the scrimmage last night, and maybe starting to get to the point, according to the head coach, Andre Tourney, that they'll start to make some moves.
Well,
here.
For sure, yeah.
And it's unfortunate, you know, there are some players like, for example, Ridley Gregg, Sens draft pick, contracted COVID and unfortunately delaying his arrival, and now you got the coach already talking about making cuts.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
And, you know, I think a player like that was up against it anyway.
Yeah,
being young as well, but then it's going to be really tough now.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you have to go through the depth chart, decisions on, and hey, I'm almost, maybe you had a decision. From what I hear of his game, Lloyd, he feels like somebody you'd probably want on a fourth line and may fit in a little bit better than somebody that necessarily is just a skilled guy. But again, when you go to these camps, being realistic, first of all, the coach would have a very good feel because he was on the team last year, and you're not going to get cut the following year anyway. What he would also have a real good feel for is the players in the Ontario Hockey League. And I will say this for sure, tie goes to your own player. And in the case of Mr. Clark and Jack Quinn, you know, if they're right there with other players, Andre Tourney is going to take the players that he's familiar with and he's won with.
Now, refresh my memory, Simmer, and maybe refresh yours. What was camp like for you? Like, how long was it? Was there that selection camp around this time of year? Was it just a summer camp? And how long were these camps?
You know, it was interesting. The summer camp, I had gotten drafted by the Caps, first goaltender in a very bad draft, 1986. I never went to the summer camp, but all of a sudden came back from Washington, somehow got extremely lucky, got real hot, and then got invited. And it was funny is that I grew up in Orleans at the Elizabeth Manley rink right across the street. That's where the tryouts were. Stayed at the old Chimo Hotel. So we flew in. I'm going to say, I'm just going to go on a guesstimate here that we're probably in Canada for 10 days. And then it must have been around the 20th of December, we flew to Switzerland. Played a couple of exhibition games in Switzerland. And then I think, if memory corrects, I think the 23rd or 24th, we flew into Czechoslovakia, or drove into Czechoslovakia from Vienna. So we went from Switzerland to Austria, but certainly to the length of it, not nearly as much. Now, as far as sheer numbers, we had enough at the camp where there were at least four goaltenders, and we certainly had scrimmages. So we also ended up playing at the time some university players, played a couple of games. We ended up losing one of them over at the Robert Gertan Arena. And I'll say that even back then, that does supply surprising and also very good competition, right? Like, I think some people don't realize how good the CIS hockey is at the end of the day, Lloydie. So it was a different time. What became the most difficult part that I kind of would equate to what's happening now is that when we flew over there, that feeling of being in Europe for the first time was so strange. And then going into Czechoslovakia in a communist country, we were basically on lockdown, right? It's the middle of winter. You're in a hotel that was okay. You know, food was okay. And by the end of the tournament, it just felt like you were so stale and just so badly wanted to get home. And we were playing the final game and the Russians were out of it. It was for the gold medal. I just kind of trying to look at these players and just wonder what effect of again, you're excited, you're pumped to play for your country. But being in the hotel there and having days off and having a long camp like this can get old in a hurry.
So you're telling me, though, your first hotel was Chimo Hotel. Now, what was the meal plan like at IP Looney's?
Yeah, it's funny. I know exactly, for anybody that grew up in Ottawa, it would have been exactly that, had not switched over to the Lone Star yet. You know, in the hotel, we had all the meals. What was a big adjustment, though, Lloydie? And Hockey Canada did a nice job with it, but still, I remember getting over there, and I couldn't sleep. You know, the sleep adjustment, I'd never been to Europe. We were in this beautiful town in Switzerland. I remember that part. But I also remember by the time we got to the hotel there, the food was bad. Like, we had brought stuff, and they would try to make some meals. But everything in the hotel, everybody, all they ate was French fries and Coca-Cola. So, you know, you're homesick. I remember Christmas Day feeling kind of funny. And, you know, it was a grind. You know, it was just really interesting the times. And, again, being basically sequestered.
Now, listen, if you had social media back then and a radio show, would you constantly mention how bad the food was at the hotel that you were staying at?
Well, yeah, I guess if it's during communist times, we were in, but here's, and again, one of the life lessons. We were in a hotel and there were at least two other teams, but I remember two of them. We were in a meal room and one we were sharing with Sweden and my buddy Callie Johansson was on the team. They had some pretty good players. I remember them all being very well dressed and they all seemed to have Leif Garrett hair for anybody that remembers that back in the day, just a real solid looking bunch. And then there's us. We're kind of the we're an interesting crew of Canadians, that team. Fairly tough, a little bit ragged. But the other one we were sharing with was Poland. And to see the Polish kids both at the hotel and at the rink, you know, could barely put equipment together, had these old sticks, and just as they would walk around, it certainly gave you a real appreciation for the life that we had. I thought that was a real kind of cool life lesson at the time.
All right. I just want to randomly mention AJ is going to be in for me on In the Box hosting after his week off.
Yeah. Nice.
Coming up at 10. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Speaking of food and hotels.
Yeah. And for those kids, the kids that are in that, it is going to be interesting, Lloydie, like how you handle it, how they end up building the team. But as I said, people would be completely naive. The part that we addressed last week, though, is incredible once again. And I actually mentioned this to JR and he corrected me, and Carter Hart as a recent name. The goaltending and how anonymous this is on the Canadian side with this star-studded group, that to me is probably not only the biggest question mark, but probably the one little Achilles heel if you're talking about this Canadian team. I mean, clearly the United States and Spencer Knight and clearly my good friend Mr. Askarov, when you want to talk about a power ranking, like the goaltending, if you look at it, and you could say that about 05, but they were so darn good and they had Glass as the goaltender. It really is such an anonymous. What I will say for the goaltender this year, Lloydie, I think there's a little less pressure on him in a domestic tournament than there would be in the past when the crowds are there, right? Like, I think for the goaltenders that usually go out of country, it's kind of like, okay, this isn't easy, but playing in front of 20,000 people in Canada takes it to another level. I would think that these guys will feel a little bit less pressure come tournament time.
Well, even with Carter Hart, yes, by the time the tournament rolled around, but he wasn't a first-round pick. Like, how many times, to your point, I'll defend your point a little bit.
Yeah.
When's the last time that Canada had, like, wow, this is a high first-round pick, goaltender, pedigree, let's go. Is it Carey Price? Are we going back that far?
Yeah, here's a few that I've watched. And, yeah, now that I'm thinking of a timeline, one of the last World Juniors I went to was one in Sweden, and Carey was a goaltender. One of my early tournaments that I went to, I think a couple of them in Boston and Winnipeg, would have been Roberto Luongo.
Yeah.
And then I remember Halifax, of course, ended up being Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, we're talking between those three, absolutely blue chip. And now Carter Hart's turned into it. But even back to Malcolm Subban being a first-round pick, everybody knew he was a marginal prospect. Have no idea how Matt Murray was under the radar all the time for Canada. But it, in a bigger picture, Lloyd, he points out to not only, and when you talk about the Olympics in 2022, as you go through power rankings of all these countries like Sweden, Finland, Russia, the United States, what used to be the absolute strength and far and above the goaltending, you know, we're just not as good as a lot. I mean, the 1 through 3, would you agree on an international level that Russia would actually have the best goaltending?
I would say so, yeah. Right now, in the world, like, we're talking everything?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, you're starting with Vasilevsky and you're working your way down?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're going to have a situation here in New York this year where both the Islanders and the Rangers could both, you know, all four goaltenders could end up being Russian.
And where is Officer Bobrovsky these days?
So? Yeah, I don't think he'd be on the depth chart.
No, I don't think
but, so. But there's still lots of other capable guys.
But payday's Friday, and he's happy. It's all good.
Exactly.
All right, we'll take our top hour break. And listen, we'll get back to this goaltending discussion. Craig Buttons has some thoughts. He thinks there's a clear front runner already at this camp, so we'll get into that. We'll get back into the NFL, NBA free agency, all still to come on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.